Amen. Take 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter number 2 this evening, and kind of a part 3, not entirely in the same vein, but related to what we're looking at on Sunday, 2 Peter chapter 3 once again, or chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at it's the same chapter, but a different set of verses as we look at tonight. We looked at on Sunday how the devil loves to whisper in our ear that makes the allurements of the world look so good and looks like everybody's having such a great time and just everybody seems to be happy and fulfilled. And, you know, the devil likes to whisper in our ear, hey, that could be you. I mean, you're missing out on so much. Living the Bible way, you're missing out on so many things that you could be enjoying right now. And, hey, it is possible to live, to love Jesus, but still do what you want. And that's a great lie that goes on in our culture and in our society and in Christendom right now. And we looked at it, what you're not missing anything. Amen? We're not missing out on anything. We're not missing out on the bondage and on the slavery and all that goes with it, the sin and all of that. But tonight, we're going to be looking at the opposite side of it. We're going to be looking at, if you're a Christian and maybe you're thinking about going over to that, or maybe the world has slipped in a little bit. And by the way, it slips into the best of our lives. Amen? It slips into anybody's life. And we sometimes think, well, do I really have to deal with it? Do I really have to, you know, really put the world out of my life? Well, if you do have that, there are going to be some things that you are really going to miss out on. And the Lord provides many things for us, and we would be missing everything, indeed, if we did turn away. So tonight, we're going to be looking at some things that you would miss out on if you did live for the world, and you decided to live the way you wanted to live in your Christian life. There's going to be some things you're going to be missing out on, and a message entitled, You're Missing Everything. Sunday was, you're not missing anything. But tonight it says you're missing everything if you decide to turn away from serving the Lord. But 2 Peter chapter 2, if we stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verse number 10 down through verse number 14 tonight. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. We'll stop there, but as we go on, we'll find the passage that we looked at on Sunday morning, in that these are people that have decided that they're going to live the way they want to live, and they're going to go after the flesh. What is the result of that, and what are we missing out on as a Christian when we do that? Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. It is enlightening to us. It teaches us much. And Lord, I wish we could stay here for many hours, Lord, to understand fully what we see here. But Lord, I pray that you would whet our appetite to understand and to know what you would have for us, Lord. For we see the end of sin. You show it to us, dear Lord. It is plain. It is open. And Lord, I pray that you would also show us tonight that if we decide to turn away from following after you, to go in our own steps, in our own way, Lord, that we'll be missing out on so many wonderful things that you have for us. I pray that you guide and direct us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You're missing everything. And tonight, what is the purpose of this message, Pastor? The message is to nail the door shut on some things in your mind, your heart. That when we looked at on Sunday was to show us how really unappealing the world is. But you know, the devil has a great job of making, does a great job of making the world look appealing, but also does a great job of making the things of God look unappealing. That the things of God really isn't what we need, and that the blessings that we have aren't really blessings, and it's really not that big of a deal. And to downplay, as it says here, that they...
Let me find the verse here that, hold on, I lost my place here, but that they talk of things in an improper way, that they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, things that are dignified, the things that are holy, things that are God's. They speak of them as there's something bad, there's something wrong with them. And the first thing that we're going to be missing out on as a Christian person, now these are going to be good things. On Sunday, we looked at some negative things that we're going to miss out on if we serve God. But now we're going to flip it, and we're going to look at some good things we will miss out on if we decide to go our own way in life. And I'm not talking about going out and going into gross immoral sin. Now, this right here is talking about many things and where sin ends, gets you to end up. But talking about just simply, yes, you're faithful, you go to church, you read your Bible, you even pray, but you're not entirely submitted to what God would have you do. You're not entirely there. You said, I have my own ideas about things. Instead of submitting yourself to the Scripture, what are you going to miss out on in your life? Number one is you're going to miss out on protection. Protection. Look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9, in that as God's children, we have protection. We have divine protection. You see Job, you see Israel, you see many different places that God miraculously protected his people. Here in 2 Chronicles 16:9, we see something. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So right here, this is Asa, the king Asa is rebuked here. But this is a very interesting thought that we see that God sees all things and he is an aid and a protection. All through the Psalms, you see David's description of how God is his buckler and shield, will gather under his wings. All of these things that we see that God protects us. Look at 2 Kings 6 and verse number 17. We see that with Elisha, just over a couple of books. 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 17. 2 Kings 6. And we see that with Elisha and his servant there, in that they were, God allowed them to see what was going on in the background spiritually. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So we look at the physical things many times, but there is a spiritual aspect to everything. Some Christians today have developed a naturalistic view of life instead of a spiritualistic. So what does that mean, naturalistic? Well, they believe, you know, there's some people that don't believe that God miraculously protects us, that God doesn't really intervene that way. You know, they don't believe in guardian angels. Well, isn't that a false thing? Well, it does say that his angel will have charge over us, and we see that in the Bible. That's biblical, in that I don't know if there's one around us all the time. We don't know how that all works, but we do know that God does have angels to intercede on behalf of his people. We see that he sent an angel to Peter in prison to let him out of the prison. We see it over and over again that God has a direct influence and direct protection over his children. Now, naturalism or naturalistic is the idea and belief that only natural laws and processes operate in the world. There are some Christians that live like that. They wouldn't necessarily call themselves that, but that's how they act. In that, well, yeah, I understand, but I really have to look out for myself. God doesn't do that. Yes, he does. A spiritual mindset instead, consisting of spirit, not physical, understanding like we just saw here in 2 Kings chapter 6, that there is more going on than what we can see. Amen? There's more going on than what we can see. There is a spiritual battle, and the Lord protects us. All through the Bible, there are examples of divine protection, and this verse we just read just illustrates that. But this is something very important to understand. Only those who are walking in his will are protected. Let me read that again. Only those who are walking in his will are protected. We see that in 2 Chronicles 16:9 is that he looks at those that walk before him that are perfect, that not perfect in the sense of never making a mistake, but that they have the object of walking with God day by day. We see the example of Job. Job walked with God. Job was known to walk with God, and he was faithful. He was upright in heart, and we see that because of that, God put a hedge of protection around him and his family, spiritually, physically, in every other way. Why? Because he was walking in the will and the way of God. And that's why we wonder sometimes why some things happen to us, or why are we so open to attack at different times. Because sometimes we're not walking in his will. We're not walking in the Spirit. Only when we're walking in the will of God do we have the protection. God has an avenue and a corridor of protection, and we can wander off of it if we decide to take exits out of that corridor that God has not prescribed. And the devil is the master of presenting exits, of presenting detours. Hey, this way's better, shortcuts and whatever have you. By the way, there's no shortcut to doing the right thing. There's no shortcut to God's will. There's no detours. There is a corridor, straight and narrow path that God shows us and shows us step by step. And if you step out of that, you're not under the protection of God. You're on your own, and that is a fearsome thing. God protects us in every area. He protects us emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally. The devil loves to get in our minds. He loves to get us to think things we ought not. And when we go outside of his protection, we're open to being deceived. And this is perhaps one of the most underappreciated aspects of our relationship with God. And you don't hear a lot of preaching on this either. In that when we go outside the parameters of God's protection, and the devil wants us to think that protection is a bad thing, doesn't he? Amen? I don't need to be protected from anything. I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. You mean I don't need any protection? Guess what? We do, because the devil is greater than we are. He has more power than we are. We just saw in our passage in 2 Peter 2 that the angels have more knowledge and are mightier than we are. And that we understand that Lucifer is an angel, that he is a created being, yet he has more power and more might and more wisdom than we do. You are never going to talk the devil out of anything. You're never going to outwit the devil. You're not going to be able to do it. Instead, we need to stand in the protection that has the idea when we put on the whole armor of God. That is not our protection. That is God's protection for us. And we have to decide to put it on. We have to decide. We can illustrate in a different way, that there is a sphere of protection, that this is where God would have you be. This is where you're protected. You know, if you go into any foreign country in the world, and every foreign country of the world has United States Embassy. And when you go to the United States Embassy, inside those gates, inside those walls, that is a little piece of the soil of the United States of America. And guess what? You go there and you have guaranteed protection as a U.S. citizen. And you know what? Guess what? If someone comes knocking at the gate, you know, they go out there with the guards and they say, we want that guy in there. You know what? He did something. You know what they're going to do? So you know what? You're going to have to go through our guns first to get to him or her. You know, that's what the idea is here, that there's protection inside that embassy. But they tell you, hey, as soon as you go out that gate, we can't protect you. As soon as you go out that gate, we can't stop anything that happens to you. If they arrest you, we can't do anything about it. Once you go outside this boundary, you have no protection. And it's God's will for every Christian to remain inside his holy embassy, to stay within his sphere of protection. And I said, well, God can protect me anywhere, can't he? You know, somebody said, well, he'll protect me anywhere. You know, let's look back at 2 Peter chapter 2. And so you know what? Can't God protect me anywhere? Pastor, you're limiting God. You're limiting God. God knows what I'm doing, and he knows that he can protect me anywhere. I understand the Lord sometimes chooses to intervene in miraculous ways in spite of what we're doing. Amen. He has mercy on us at times. However, we see something that is a part of this particular mindset in that verse number 10, near the end, it says, presumptuous are they. Presumptuous, to sin presumptuously is this, Well, I'm going to go do this. I know it's wrong, but God has to forgive me anyway. That's being presumptuous, presuming on the grace of God. Romans 6 tells us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? To sin presumptuously? He said, God forbid. If you look at other passages, that if you go and sin presumptuously and you come to God and say, well, he has to forgive me, you're not forgiven when you come to him in that attitude. You don't have a spirit of repentance. You're just saying, well, God, you had to forgive me, so come on, forgive me. So God is not obligated to do it in those circumstances. You look at 1 John, and you go to different places of Scripture. But right here, this idea that, well, can't God protect me anywhere, that you are presuming a big assumption. You're assuming, presuming and assuming something. God will never bless or protect you and enable you to sin. If you're going off and you're sinning, God's not going to protect you in doing that. Why? Because God is perfect and God is holy. God loves you, but he's not going to help you and enable you to sin. Amen? And if God doesn't enable us to sin, we should enable other people to sin. Because the Bible makes it very clear, if you enable someone to sin, you are just as guilty as a person doing it. Because God is perfect and God is holy, he's never going to protect and enable you to sin and to go outside of his will. He will not do it. The devil wants us to think that protection's a bad thing. That's just a ploy to try and control. That protection is just a ploy to try and control us. This is simply not the case. It is a great gift that Jesus provides to all those who are saved. The Lord only protects where he would desire us to go and do, where his will is. That's where he protects us. We need to have this idea, that protection. When we protect our children, the children automatically think, oh, Mom and Dad just don't want us to live our life. You know, they're upset. You know, and they get irritated at that. Guess what? Mom and Dad, you just keep on protecting them because there's a lot of things you know about in this world, in this life, they have no idea about. And they're not going to understand. And be glad they don't understand. Amen? And protect them from them. You know, I understand there are some situations of certain things that our children have to learn on their own. But this idea that we're just hands off, if they don't want the protection, then I'll take it away. No, that we need to continue to protect them from things. And that we do, you know, it's okay to be a little paranoid as a parent. Amen? It's okay to be. Because there's, you know, we look at, well, are people really that maniacal? Is it really people that evil? Look around. Amen? Look around in the world we live in. There's a lot, there is very evil, maniacal, manipulative people, and we ought to be a little paranoid. Just because they come to church and wear a suit and wear a dress and hold their King James Bible doesn't mean they're good people. Amen? So we need to be have some protection, and we need to have some wisdom about these things. But isn't it a blessing that God protects us? When we get to heaven, I believe we can ask Jesus, Lord, what did you protect me from? And he will maybe, I don't know if he will or not, but if we ask him, I'm going to ask him, as a Lord, what did you protect me from? We're going to see all that he protected us from. All the things the devil wanted to do to us and wanted to sift us as wheat that he desired Peter. And Jesus said, I prayed for you. And he intercedes on our behalf. And we can thank the Lord for that we have that protection. Man, I hope you're scared to step out of the Lord's protection. You better think twice, sir or man, before you step out of God's will. Because you're stepping, and by the way, Mom and Dad, when you step out of God's will, you're not pulling yourself out of protection, you're pulling your kids out of protection too. And the devil goes for the kids first. Protection. Praise God for that. Amen. We can praise God that we're protected and we're under the blood of Jesus. Number two, if you're deciding to turn the way that you want to go, you're going to miss out on some direction. Direction. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 23. Psalm 37, verse number 23. You're going to miss out on direction. Well, I don't need any directions. Yes, we do. Oh, we get lost in half a second. Psalm 37, 23. You know, even though, what do we hear all around us? You know, chart your own destiny. No one can tell you what to do. Just go and do what you want. You can make it. Live the American dream. By the way, the American dream never was and never has been the reality. That's not the genuine American dream, but the American dream has never been and is currently promoted as, but never has been. Just do what you want and get away with it. That has not been the American dream. The American dream was never, well, you can just make yourself and make your way in the world and be rich and then stomp under everyone under your foot. That has never been the American dream. The American dream is to be able to get a job, earn an earnest living, and worship the Lord freely and raise a family in safety. That's the American dream right there. And that we have freedom to do that. But Psalm 37:23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." What a blessed verse. We walk with God in his will, then we will have direction in where he would have us to go. This may seem like an oversimplification, but it's really that simple. That as we walk with God, we simply walk step by step, and we'd go wherever he goes, directs whatever he directs, and say whatever he would have us say. We were created to do the will of God. Each of us has been created for a particular purpose. We see that with Jeremiah. He was ordained to be a preacher. Samuel was. John the Baptist. All of these were created for a specific purpose to serve God. It is clearly seen in the passage we just read in Psalm 37 that only those who are walking with God will have their steps directed. Let's read it again. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man. Not good in his own sight, but the one that is faithful. We see what good and righteous is defined as in Psalms and Proverbs. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We see that he can be interpreted in two ways. He is lowercase, so it's not talking about God. It's talking about the man, in that he delights in not his own way, but the way of God. Walking with God, that is his desire to walk and do the will of God. Only those that are right with God and submitted to God will care to ask God what direction they should go in the first place. You know, sometimes we, you know, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to pray about it, to find God's will. We pray about it, but then if your heart's not submitted, if you say, well, I don't want to know the answer anyway, you're not going to get an answer from the Lord. When I was younger, there are many times I did that. I said, Lord, what's your will? But my heart wasn't submitted. I didn't want to know the answer. I already thought I knew it. And I'm just going to go do what I want to do about it. But if we're simply submitted, say, Lord, whatever you want, then we're going to ask for direction and God will give it. But the devil does the opposite. He encourages us to do what we want to do, to go where we want to go, that we can chart our own course and destiny. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's what we hear repeat over and over and over again. Chart your own destiny. If you look at any of the cartoons that your kids watch today, by the way, most of them aren't fit for human consumption. Amen. How many ever watched one of those? I was in the airport and I was watching one, or I was somewhere and I was watching one, and just weird stuff, weirdness, and all kinds of different messages and different things and different philosophies. But one of the common themes of cartoons of my generation and the last few has then been this: hey, whatever you want to do, just do it. Whatever makes you feel good, you know, you need to do that. Don't let your mom or your dad or anybody get you down, tell you you can't do it. You just go for the stars and you can be whatever you want. And they say, well, you can be an astronaut or you can be this, or good things they say. But really what it instills an attitude of rebellion. Of I can do what I want. If I want to go be a bartender as a Christian, then I can go do it. Amen? And we hear that. And people that are Christians, hey, I can go and work at a nightclub and be a Christian and be okay. I can go and be a Christian and go be involved with the world and I'll be okay because that's what I want to do, right? It's a deception. This thought process is clearly anti-God and unbiblical. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Genesis 12 and verse number 1, we see the example of Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So the direction here, This cannot be any clearer. It wasn't that Abram decided, got up one day and said, you know what? I think I'm going to leave. I'm going to go out here, and that I think God's going to make me a great nation, and I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go make a name for myself over there in the land of Canaan, and I'm going to see if what I can figure out what I can do over there. No, he was just faithfully living there, and God said, go. Go and do that. And we don't see that Abram had anything to say about it. It says, so Abram departed. Very short statement. He didn't sit there and fight with God, so I don't want to go or do anything like that. He simply departed and did what God told him to do. Didn't know where he was going, what he was doing, but just went one step at a time. That's all God shows us, is one step at a time. Amen? If he showed us the whole picture, it would scare us to death, what all that we were to do. This direction, do we see it? And listen here. This direction is a gift of God. Let me say that again. Direction from God is a gift and a mercy to us. The God of all creation cares and knows our every step. We don't need to worry about a misstep if we're following God. God already had a plan for us that is perfect. And we see today too many directionless people because they're trying to do it on their own. Or they know what God's direction is, but they're trying to find other options because they don't like that one. Well, you know, let's see what the options are. By the way, there's only one option. If you're going to live for God and be blessed of God and have God's protection, there's only one direction to go in. His direction. His plan. And if we're really as spiritual as we think we are, and if we're really as dedicated as we think we are, and as we claim to be, that shouldn't be a problem. That should be an exciting thing to us. That should be that we can go forward, and with that brings such great confidence and assurance that, hey, I didn't make this up. I'm not going to make a misstep because I'm just doing what God told me to do. Abraham, guess what? When he messed up, when he caused some problems along the way, was when he got impatient. Did that with Ishmael. But also, there was times that he did not trust in the direction that God had for him, such as when he went to Egypt and he told his wife to lie that you're my sister. Now, it wasn't really a lie. He was his half-sister. But he said, don't tell him we're married, because you know why? He said, because they'll kill me. They'll kill me and they'll steal you away. So we need to lie about it. But do you remember something? What had Abram forgot? That God had just promised him here that he was going to be a great nation. Guess what? You can't be a great nation if you're dead. God wouldn't have let him out there to have him die when God had made a promise. The same thing with the Israelites. God had promised them to take them back to the land of Canaan, to bring them back to the land that was promised to them. And over again, what they claimed to Moses and the Lord, have you brought us out here to die? We should have just died. We'd rather die in Egypt. But God had made them a promise. But they forgot the promise. And there's times that we forget. We forget the promise and the direction God has given to us. We need to be willing to seek God, and we need to be willing to follow God's plan for us. Then there are those that are seeking. I said, the Lord hasn't showed it to me yet. Then we need to be patient and wait for God's leading. Psalm 37:9 tells us that. Psalm 37:9. Let's go back over there and look at that again. Psalm 37:9. Each step and each step of the way, step of the plan, but we need to wait upon the Lord and wait for his direction. Psalm 37:9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Just wait and do good. Be patient. Love the Lord. And what is the third thing that we can miss out on? That is peace. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. We've talked about peace often because it is so important for us to seek after it, to seek for peace. So many people are seeking for it. So many people try and find it in so many other things, but we can only find peace in Jesus Christ. We can only find peace in what he has provided in his salvation. There's so much to be said for having peace, amen. When you have it, man, you don't want to lose it. Amen. You love having that peace and that assurance. This is a gift that no Christian should take lightly. There are so many people looking for peace in their heart. They are looking to have that place of peace and fulfillment that only comes in living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look here, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So right here, we have an understanding in that true peace, first of all, comes from a faithful relationship with God, a faithful relationship. And so right here, peace comes directly as a direct result of our prayer life, as a direct result of our relationship with God. He said, be careful, meaning don't fret about things, don't worry about it, but trust, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And if you do that, you bring your troubles, you bring your cares, you bring your desire to know the will of God to Him, and you praise Him and you thank Him for all that He has given you. We need to praise Him that we are protected. We need to praise Him that we can have direction. We need to praise Him that He can give us peace. And we trust and we allow Him to give us that peace. Why? Because we know that He has heard us, and He's going to take care of it. When we trust is when we have peace. And when we ask, Lord, what direction would you have me to go? And we pray about it, and the Lord either gives peace or no peace at all. When we say that, by the way, kids, when mom and dad say that, they're not just making it up. Amen? You know, some kids think about, well, mom and dad, just that's their way of making it up, so they say that they don't have to say no, but they just blame it on God. No, really, it's true that when we are trying to find the will of God, God gives us a peace that passeth all understanding or a lack of peace. And by the way, mom and dad, if you have a lack of peace about something, you better say no, because the Lord's trying to protect many times. Holy Spirit's trying to protect. And then, but it'll break my child's heart. Yes, and you protect them from the devil, but they'll get over the broken heart part. But one day, my parents protect me from a lot of things that I didn't understand. And all the older I get, and the older my children get, and it still clicks. Oh, that's why my parents did that. And you know what? It gives me a greater appreciation. I tell my mom and dad often, thank you so much for protecting me. I understand now. I understand. Guess what? When you're a teen, you don't get it. You don't understand. You don't understand everything, and it's good you don't, but guess what? You trust mom and dad and the people in your life to protect you. And God brings that peace. We see a faithful relationship. Second, a thankful relationship. A relationship not based on God, what you can do for me, but one that is thankful for what God has already provided. We got to remind ourselves here, we need to be thankful for what God has given, because we don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve anything that God gives us. And we say, well, God hasn't given me this. Well, let's be thankful for what He has given. When we're thankful for what we have, He has given us, we can have that peace. What does this show? An attitude of complete dependence on all that God has done and will do. This brings peace. When we have experienced the peace that passes all understanding, we do not want to let it go. Amen? We don't want to let that go. There is nothing like it. And the Lord provides this when we are going the direction that He has created for us. That's how we can have peace in the midst of tragedy. Someone is dying or someone has a terrible medical diagnosis, and we can have peace in knowing that this is God's direction for us or for them. And we can have reliance. Lord, you allowed this to happen for a reason. And we can still have that peace that passeth all understanding. And you know why it says that? That passes. That is a peace that is not understood by human reasoning. The world doesn't understand it. The world says, well, I'd be falling apart if I was going through that. You hear some Christians say that. Well, I'd be falling apart if I was going through that. I don't have that kind of peace. What they're really saying is they don't have that kind of relationship with God. They don't have that kind of trust in God. And when we desire to go outside of this direction and pattern, many times it's because that person is seeking for peace somewhere else. that they're in God's will, but they don't have peace. So they assume it's because God, they're not in God's will, so they're going to go seek for it somewhere else and seek and find that peace. And so why does that happen? Well, this is due to discontent in where God has placed them. And that God had, I don't like the direction I'm going in. This is not what it's cracked up to be. They've been listening to the devil whisper in their ear. So I'm going to go and find peace over here. I don't have any peace. I'm so discontent. Or number two, due to a rebellious spirit towards God's authority over their life. And so, well, I understand God has authority over me, and I'm bought with a price, but hey, I want to be happy. And so they go off in their own way, trying to find peace. They're never going to find it except in God's will. The way to fix that is just to submit yourself to God, and that peace is going to come back. Not to go out, you can't find it anywhere else. Or due to the belief in the devil's lies that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you go over there and say, hey, this side, to go more toward the world or more toward what you desire. And say, hey, I get over there. The devil says, hey, you'll have some peace. It's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's never there. And you know something? Here's a question. Here's a science question. Is it possible to get to the end of a rainbow? How many think yes? How many think no? Why? What's that? It's round, but also it's an optical illusion. It moves as you move, because it's how you view the light going through the water vapor in the sky. So it's constantly moving when you're moving. It'll stay in a particular area of the sky, but as you look at it, it'll keep moving as you move. So it's an elusive thing. You can never get there to the end. You may think that's where it was, but it's always moving, going somewhere else. And that's exactly, they call that the bait and switch, right? In that you get there, you think you have something, you think you bought something, and you find out it's not what you thought it was. And that's what the devil does. Hey, come over here where it's greener. He said, hey, I'll have some peace. He said, no, it's over there. And then you go over there. Oh, no way, you got to do one more thing. It's over here. And people spend their life going here and there and here, trying to find peace instead of staying where they were supposed to stay. Amen. They have stayed in the will of God with the wrong attitude and spirit, which took away the peace of God, and now they think that they have to make a change to find it again. We can find peace of God as a Christian in submission and service to Him. Let me encourage you with something. Don't trade in God's peace for your will and direction. Oh, don't trade in God's peace that passeth all understanding. We can. We can at a cost. We can trade it in and say, well, this is more important. These three things are great gifts that I believe sometimes as Christians we forget, we take for granted, we underappreciate them. The peace of God, the protection of God, and the direction of God, all of these are great, wonderful gifts. And if you're going the way of the world, you will miss out on these three key and essential gifts of God, and plus many more. This is not all inclusive. There's many other gifts that God gives us. We could go on and on for years talking about all that God gives to us as revealed in Scripture. But these three, if we say, well, I don't want that, then you truly are missing everything. People go their whole life trying to find direction. Amen. People go their whole lives wishing someone would have protected them. People go their whole lives trying to find just one moment or sliver of peace. And they don't find it. And these are lost people. And then they see a Christian being just like them, and they turn around and say, what is wrong with you? You had all the things that I was seeking after, and you had them for free. And you gave it all away to be like me. How foolish can you be? How foolish can we be? Oh, we can be very foolish if we listen to the devil, if we listen to our own foolish heart. We can be very foolish, but praise the God for his mercy and his grace. And if we're heading off in that direction, and maybe you started walking in that direction a step or two, you can come back. Even if you've gone a long way down the road, you can come back. Praise God. And have all these restored to you. But maybe you need to nail the back door down for some things. Nail it shut and say, you know what? I never realized this, or maybe I realized, but I had forgotten that all how terrible the world is and how wonderful Jesus is and how wonderful he is to us. You know what? Then we need to nail the back door shut, put some boards over it, so you know what? I'm never going that way again. Never going that way. Some people, they lock the door, but they keep the keys around just in case they ever want to. Hey, what if there's a fire and I need to get out? What happens if I might change my mind about it? You know what? That's not submission and dedication to God. Amen? You're making a commitment to God. Leaving the back door open or leaving the keys around where you can open up anytime you want is not commitment. Commitment is nailing it shut. So I'm never going that way again. You can just make a wall out of it. I'm not going that way again. Not passing by this way. I'm going to go out for the Lord. That's commitment. That's commitment. We need young people. We need adults. We need Christians of commitment. That they're not going to leave the option open. By the way, with the plan of God, there is no plan B. You know what? We're taught that that's foolish. There's no plan B. There's no plan B. You know why? Because if we're trusting God, plan A always works. There's only one plan because God only needs one plan. And we can trust him for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you will bless this invitation time. That, oh Lord, that you would direct us and guide us. We thank you for your protection, your direction, and your peace. Oh Lord, I pray that we would praise you for it tonight. Lord, as we come before you tonight, I pray that we would nail the back door shut on some of these things. That we would not ever even consider trading in all that you have given, all that you have paid for with your precious blood, for some trinkets and toys of this world. Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your word. I pray that you would work in hearts tonight. That if any has made a decision or is pondering a decision, or maybe ones that have been dedicated to you for many years, that they're rededicating, they're recommitting. Whatever the case may be, Lord, only you know. I do not. I pray that we would faithfully seek you at the altar tonight as you have spoken to us. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we come to our feet tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I have a question for you tonight. Do you have peace? Maybe you're listening and you're saying, Pastor, I don't have peace. I heard about the peace you were talking about that passes all understanding. I've never had peace in my life because I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have that peace at all. But I'd like to know. I'd like to know for sure if I'm on my way to heaven. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior, but I want to trust him tonight. If that's you, you're seeking for peace that only Christ can give, and you wish to accept Jesus as your Savior, like to talk to someone about it, would you slip your hand up tonight? Say, please pray for me. I need that peace. I don't have it. But I want to have that peace only Jesus can give. Is there anyone like that tonight? Just slip your hand up wherever you are. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. No one looking around right now. Just slip your hand up. I'm the only one that can see. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up tonight. For those of us that are saved tonight, do you need to make a decision about the back door? Maybe you need to recommit some things. Maybe you need to throw some things out. Maybe you need to thank the Lord for the direction and peace and protection he has given you.